I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to Junks, presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be the next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Just go to CropMetcalf.com. Join their team today. You're joining us on a Victory Tuesday presented by Chiniga Mios. Visit MIOScareers.com to view open positions and apply today. We're just about 20 minutes away from Pete Haley joining us.
What's funny about the Joey Sly injury is if you watch that replay after the blocked kick, he gets kind of in a scrum with a couple guys. They're trying to push him out of the way.
Right.
And he's almost pushed to the ground. But he regains his footing.
Because he's a beast.
Because he's got a strong lower half.
Yeah.
He's got big-ass
legs. He's a relatively short, squatty.
He could probably squat 400 pounds.
Yeah.
But if he gets pushed to the ground, obviously, he's fine.
Right.
But since he had to run 70 yards, he pulls the hammy.
Well, that's what kickers do who are grasping by their fingernails to stay in the lead.
Right.
They can't just lie down on the ground and be like, oh, well, I guess that guy's going out.
No, I understand. But if he gets pushed to the ground, there's no reason to get up.
But, I mean, he doesn't have that luxury. He's got to get up.
He's got to be an effort
guy. He's got to scrap.
Yeah, but if he gets pushed to the ground, he's not going to run as hard because the guy's going to be 50 yards down the field.
Yeah.
But it's just kind of random that happened.
I thought when I saw that play happen, by the way, I thought, well, this is the beginning of the end. Just a weird debacle, 2-point return. It just takes
Yeah, but the defense.
But then they punted five straight times.
The defense was legit, partly because Russell Wilson seemed highly inaccurate, but that's the question. Are they going to be able to hold up? And I kind of think they will because they did it against Tampa, and maybe Tampa didn't have Antonio Brown, but they still had Evans. They still had Godwin. Maybe they didn't have Gronk back, but that was still a loaded Tampa team. The defense showed up there, had a couple of interceptions. Why can't they do it against the Raiders? I mean, I do think they will miss Chase Young and Montez Sweat over time. I don't necessarily buy in that they're better because those two guys aren't on the field because they are your best pass rushers.
Well, they weren't this year. They were mediocre. I mean, maybe Montez.
They're your
was.
Highest build pass rushers.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Right now, it looks like Landon Collins might be one of our better pass rushers. I mean, he's just great coming off the edge.
Yep. Utilize him more in that role.
And I think that Jack is being more creative because he doesn't have those studs. And they are studs, you know, athletically. He doesn't have them.
Mm-hmm.
So here's why, again, I'm just going to keep with the same shtick. I'm nervous about the Raiders. I don't know what we're going to get from them. Taylor keeps answering these questions, but can he go 4 weeks in a row playing like really, really competitively and like completing 75% of his passes and basically for the most part playing mistake-free?
I mean, they're kind of in a rhythm right now.
They are. But, how much longer can it continue?
But again, anything, who knows how LA or Vegas
the league
defends
is crazy.
Him. You know, maybe they do something different that Washington hasn't seen. We have no idea, but they are in a rhythm in terms of the short passes, guys wide open across the middle, screen pass, dump off.
And I do think, I don't want to keep harping on it, but I love watching him. We already know about his arm strength. I do think I found another flaw in his game. I think he kind of stinks at the RPO. Because I've noticed this several times, that he should be taking the ball himself.
Yeah.
And, you know, he probably hadn't. I mean, I don't know.
Maybe as a program so much not to take hits and the whole durability question that he'd rather.
There might be.
And by the way, it's not a bad thing to give it to Gibson. Gibson was playing well.
Yeah,
not a bad thing to give
it
to Gibson. Okay, but it's also that's a split second decision.
I know.
So.
I'm not saying I'd be good at it, but I'm just saying I don't think he's particularly good at it.
Yeah. Well, look, the defense playing better goes hand in hand with the running game being better, the time of possession, the third down efficiency, which has gotten much better. It kind of all goes hand in hand. So it's going to be a test, though, against the Raiders.
Here's what I do know.
Road game.
Unless they fall into like a 21 zippy hole early, Gibby's getting the ball 25 times against the Raiders. And that's a minimum. He's going to touch the ball at least 25 times between the running and the passing.
Correct.
I faced him in fantasy last night. How do you think that went?
They give up 125 yards on the ground. Yeah. That's more than what Seattle's giving up.
A healthy dose of Gibby again.
And we don't say it enough because they always are underappreciated. But what they've been able to do with the offensive line with different pieces and to be onto are they truly onto their fourth center? Is Ishmael their fourth center?
Fourth center, yeah.
Because you have Chase, and then you had what?
Schweitzer. And there's one
Lawson.
Larson or whatever.
Larson.
Whatever it is. I mean, that's crazy. And to basically, at least to our perspective, not miss a beat,
it's gotten
incredible.
Better.
Probably going to be bringing in some offensive linemen, too, along with kickers. Because, I mean, if guys just keep dropping or elevating guys from the practice squad.
Flowers is such a massive man, though. When I see him standing, when they have a shot of Flowers.
Literally.
Like, I'd almost think, could he fit through our door?
Could he fit through that doorway?
He's so big.
He might have to walk inside.
He plays so well here. How was he a bust?
Because he wanted to be a tackle. Now he's moved in.
Well, did they play him at guard in Miami? They released him there.
You know
they
what?
They moved on from him.
And they're paying the freight for part of his salary.
I mean, he's a gift from God. He's just a massive, massive human that seems to fit in just perfectly.
Can you imagine
here.
Seeing him in person if he walked into the studio?
No.
Can you imagine being a journalist? I think when he was a rookie with the Giants, that basically he wanted to kill in the locker room.
Oh, I like to see you. Show me that video during the break.
He got a scrap with the guy, and I'm sure he was probably like our size or smaller, and he's a massive mountain of a man.
Right. All right, you want to pay out some of these calls? Let's go to DeMonte in D.C. DeMonte, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Junkies.
How you guys doing, fellas?
Doing great, man. What's up?
Yeah, happy to see everyone made it last night. I'm sure it was a couple of heart attacks in the area. But, glad we could make it through.
Yep.
As far as the Raiders game, I just wanted to say I feel like one of the things our defense has done consistently this year is shut down the run.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can do that against Josh Jacobs, I feel like that'll give us a great chance to win. We stick Cam Curl on their tight end, and we have pretty good chances. It'll be all up to our offense, in my opinion.
Right. Okay. I like the confidence. And maybe, I don't know.
In the Cowboy game, Waller only got 5 targets.
Mm-hmm.
I remember last year he had some games where he got 15, 18
in
targets.
In the Raiders game.
This year,
against the Ravens, the opening week, I think he had 19 targets.
Yeah, I mean, but I don't know what's going on. I know he's been banged up, or maybe Dallas was doing something different.
Yeah, I'm sure teams trying to take that away.
Mm-hmm. No, he's gone quiet. He's on my fantasy team, so I know.
He may have gone quiet.
Well, I'm sure he's gone quiet, but I'm sure there's a reason.
I think he's probably the best tight end ever to come out of Landover, Maryland.
That's right.
I believe his place of birth.
That's amazing.
He's a local kid.
Amazing.
Yep.
And he was originally, drafted by the Ravens, and he had, like, the drug and alcohol issues or something?
I'm not sure if he was drafted by the Ravens or he was a free agent. I'm not sure.
He was. I think he was drafted.
Yeah.
I want to say he was a fifth rounder.
Yeah. Didn't he go to Georgia Tech?
Georgia Tech,
yes.
Where did he go to high school then? If he was from Landover.
Sixth rounder.
Did he
I think he went to high school in Colorado or something.
Oh, he had
moved.
Yeah. The story behind it is they had, like, some sort of preseason game.
Yeah,
and he was on the practice squad. He wasn't really with the team, and so they had, or it might have been like a joint practice. And he was working out on the sideline, and John Gruden saw him working out, going, "Who is that silly stud?"
Right.
And then they said, "We need to snatch him up."
Right.
And so they scooped him off the practice squad just from him working out on the sideline.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I remember like 3 years ago, Dave Richard was on the show, and he's like, "Hey, take Darren Waller with like the last pick in your fantasy draft. He's going to be a stud." Who's this guy? Never heard of this guy's name before. He goes catches like 80 balls as a rookie. Stud. But he's definitely dealt with some injuries.
He's had a knee,
yeah.
And a knee dealing with
so
that.
So hopefully he's quiet again this weekend.
All right, let's go to Daryl in Beltsville, 800-636-1067 if you want to chime in. We're kind of looking ahead a little bit. Do we think we could sustain this next week against the Raiders? I keep wanting to call him the Oakland Raiders.
Just real quick, Waller was hurt during the Dallas game. That's why he only had 5 targets.
Oh, okay. So he got hurt. So he was out of the game for some
time. Yeah, he was hurt like in the first 10 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's why they stopped throwing it to him.
Yeah, I know. So, I know he's been battling a knee, but that makes sense. Okay.
Hey, so what I wanted to say was that the Raiders don't play clean football. Oh God, don't play clean football. And dogs. They don't play clean football, and Dallas had all those passive interference penalties.
Yeah.
If the Redskins, the Redskins, play clean football, and those plays don't happen.
Yeah.
The only thing is that Carr is a competent quarterback. He's not going to miss those throws that Wilson missed last night. You know, those ones he threw right to Everett's feet. Mm-hmm. You know, those won't happen.
Probably
so,
not.
I mean, but playing a clean game.
He's letting his dog
play out. A clean game like they did last night on defense and offense. No stupid penalties on offense and defense. And you give yourself a good chance. The Raiders are number 2 in penalties. I mean, the Cowboys game, they're number 2.
They had 14. I mean, there was 28 penalties in that game.
How is it that every year it seems like the Raiders are leading
every
the league
single
in penalties.
Year?
Doesn't even matter who the coach is.
It doesn't matter. Whatever city they're in, whatever coach, it doesn't matter.
It's the uniforms.
I don't know.
Think about this. 28 penalties in that game.
Oof.
Hey, so just play a clean game. Clean game. You give yourself a good chance against a team that doesn't play clean football.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Daryl. Appreciate it, buddy.
And Washington's been doing that. We talked about it earlier. They only had 4 penalties. Heineke.
If they're going to give you 100 free yards,
take it all day long.
Keep
making mistakes.
By the way, EB, I know you're a Heineke guy.
Dallas could not take advantage of that. The Raiders had 14 penalties for about 150 yards. Mm-hmm. Dallas just kept giving the ball back because they had 14 as well.
I think that the odds of Heineke being the starting quarterback for the Washington football team right now.
Well, they're going up every week.
Next week?
I don't know what
I mean,
it
next
is,
year? I might go over 50% now.
I think
Ron, because if you have a competent quarterback who's only making a couple million dollars, you could stock the rest of your team.
Potentially.
No, he could still be the starter to open the season, but I believe they will draft a quarterback.
The question is he still considered, in my mind and others' mind, like a bridge guy, or is he somebody that is going to be like a Romo type, like, you know, just like a shocker that you can run with for a while?
Yeah.
I think it's still a little bit up for grabs, because he's clearly still learning.
I think he's inching towards the Case Keenum was starting in Minnesota.
Yeah. I mean, he's evolving, but let's see. I don't want to get carried away because... You know, when you have such limitations, you can be exploited.
Right, but the odds are increasing.
He's making smarter decisions.
When we asked Ron that question, Ron definitely said, you know, first of all, last week he said the quarterback of the future could be on the roster. He reiterated that today, and he acknowledged the salary advantages to having a quarterback that's not paid much.
That's a huge advantage.
He did a good job yesterday, too, because he started out a little shaky. Right?
A couple bad throws.
A couple high balls.
Missed Humphreys, I think.
Yeah, I mean,
one.
It wasn't like it was terrible, but it was like he's been really accurate the last few weeks.
Well, it's a lot of short passes. I mean,
that's fine.
Yeah.
But also, even his deep balls, like they say, he's missing deep instead of trying like these really difficult back shoulder throws that were getting intercepted.
But hey, the one to Logan, he which they call it, they ruled it a drop or whatever that it hit the ground, but.
That was a great play.
It was a great throw.
Yeah, great play. And I actually thought Logan. I saw it move around a little bit, but I actually thought Logan's hand was underneath it.
It's a weird rule.
Yeah, I thought he caught it, but whatever. I'm so excited. I'm afraid to jinx it, so I just keep waiting for the bottom.
I think the
to
odds
fall
are
out.
Increasing.
I keep waiting for the bottom to fall out.
I don't think they'll go out and get some mediocre.
Well, there's no reason to get Trubisky.
No.
There's no reason to get somebody like that.
That's off the table. Do they draft somebody? Yeah, but they're not going to have a top draft choice.
They probably
anymore.
Should. Probably should draft somebody regardless.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? Fitz is done. He ain't coming back.
Poor Fitz.
No, Fitz is.
Fitz is
do you
done.
Still have the T-shirt cakes?
I still have the T-shirt.
When do you retire that? Will you have that a decade from now?
I don't know. I'll probably have it a decade from now.
Will he have the shortest run of like an expected starter in like
six passes
in like our team history?
Probably.
Like, we expected him to be the guy at least for a year.
I mean, unless there was somebody that they brought in that, like, tore his ACL before the season.
What was that, two series?
I think he played a quarter and a half.
All right, so maybe three series?
He almost made it to halftime of the first game. Poor Fitz.
Hey, still got paid.
This was supposed to be the season
of
Fitz.
Yeah, I mean, I actually thought, I realistically thought he'd play well, and they'd bring him back next year.
Right.
That's what I thought, too. He's never going to play again.
Well, and going back to what we talked about earlier, too, with Heinicke, you know, there were the Kyle Allen whispers
at the bye. So like,
but we also started to grasp, well, when is Fitz coming back?
Now that that's done.
Right.
Yeah, you know what you can do with Fitz at this point? You can put him in a rocket ship and send him out to
outer
space.
How many bets did you have on Fitz over 30 touchdowns?
I don't know. Valdez and I chopped a bet.
Yeah. He probably lost one to me.
But we won a prop bet before that, so it canceled it out. So it doesn't hurt my bottom line.
The FanDuel account got swole last night.
Well, that's a good thing. That's a fantastic thing.
I had Washington in a couple different plays. Got a little swole.
Very good.
By the way, I go to sleep early anyway. I will go to sleep tonight in bed. I'll be in bed by 6. I won't be asleep. I'll be in bed by 6. Take the melatonin. Because last night was a show.
Yeah, well,
I stayed up for the first quarter.
Take a nap now, though. That's what I'm going to do.
I'm not a nap guy. Can't do it.
He's very rigid and regimented. Like, he can't take a nap in the afternoon. He refuses.
Can you imagine being married to Jason?
How long have we worked?
It's a beautiful thing.
How long have we worked here at 1015 Half Street? How many years?
5?
No, more than that.
7?
I don't know. Does anybody know?
JP, you know.
Say 4 years.
Peter from Burke knows. I think 6. I think 6. We're definitely hit over 5.
Jason hasn't. He's such a squeaker. He hasn't bought one item from the Monumental Vending break room.
Correct.
That's an amazing streak. That's more impressive than Cal's streak.
Hey, I spend five bucks a day.
But Bickle, last night I watched the first quarter. That got me to what, 8:50-ish, 8:45? Yeah. All right, turned the lights off, went night-night.
Yeah.
And I got up at 3:18.
I know, but it's just dumb.
Who does that?
Nobody. Who does it? Why don't you stop?
How's it dumb?
Coach Rivera does it. He went to bed at 2. He's up at 5:30.
It's like 6 in one, half dozen the other.
Richard,
I don't know why it's
how
better.
Is it dumb? I can't control it. I get tired.
I don't know. Pour coffee.
6 o'clock?
Drink a coffee at 9? I don't drink coffee.
I don't know.
What are you talking
have
about?
Have a Red Bull.
You're not making any sense.
My body goes like this.
I mean, what do you want me to do?
I don't know. Well, you seem to...
You think it's so easy because that's your body. Your body clock can go to sleep at midnight.
No. I have silly control over my body. You have no control.
No, you don't. You have no control at 11 and you go to sleep.
No, listen. You're probably...
You'll be asleep from 11 to 1:30 today.
I guarantee if one of your rich friends had a party, you would be awake. You would be...
Not at 12. I wouldn't be. No chance.
You would.
Are you kidding me?
What time did you go to bed last night?
I'd have two drinks at 5 and I'd be in bed by 8.
No. Have one of your fancy... Have Scotty Cameron have a party.
You don't keep arguing during the break.
Because me and Scotty Cameron are tight.
Were you rubbing your eyes during the Facebook Live?
Yeah, I was butt tired.
All right, got to take a break. Pete Haley, who covers the Washington football team for NBC Sports Washington, he'll join us next. Welcome back to the show. Junk's on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. On a Victory Tuesday, we're presented by Chiniga Mios. Visit MIOScareers.com to view open positions and to apply today.
A lot of stuff going on. RG3's got a book coming out in August of next year called Surviving Washington.
That's a serious pre-order time. I did pre-orders for 2 weeks. He's doing a year of pre-orders.
He's going to talk about the Seattle game, the knee injury, the medical mismanagement, he says. The sexual harassment. That's a nightmare.
It's actually a great teaser. He is going to just completely nuke any potential for coming back and playing in the league.
I think he said he was going to detail.
Those days are done.
He said he was detailing the medical mismanagement from the Seattle game on.
He's a broadcaster
and the
now.
Sexual harassment.
He's a broadcaster now.
Now he's going to dive into the sexual harassment, too?
Yes.
Yep. Wow.
And Virginia Tech hired Brent Pry as their new coach, defensive coordinator for Penn State. He was there for about 5 or 6 years. Look, there were a lot of names that I was hoping Tech would at least interview. I know they were interviewing or interested in Billy Napier, who took the Florida job. Mm-hmm. I wanted an offensive guy. It is what it is. I mean, I wonder where Pry was on Virginia Tech's list. You know what I mean? Yeah. I don't know if he was 5, 6, 7, mm-hmm. because a lot of these guys they're interested in. Clawson resigned, Dykes, TCU, yep. Napier, Florida. I was hearing Marcus Freeman, defensive coordinator for Notre Dame. Maybe he gets the Notre Dame job now. Who knows? But Brent Pry is the guy.
Okay.
And I hope he can recruit. And I hope he can keep guys in from Virginia at Virginia Tech.
Yep. That would be nice.
Look at you becoming a passionate Tech fan.
Well, I mean, my kids go there.
Yeah,
sure. I want them to do well. But I did want an offensive guy. Right. That's why I wanted Napier. Napier coached under Saban. He coached under Dabo. Mm-hmm. That's the guy I want, but you can't compete with Florida.
I hadn't even heard of University of Louisiana football. I honestly didn't.
For B. Mitchell.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah.
Didn't know.
Well, let me just say this.
I thought he went to Northeast Louisiana or something.
No, no. It was Southwest Louisiana.
So there you go.
I had never heard
of University of Louisiana.
They changed
their
name.
Yeah.
I was like, Pete Haley's being very patient. Just
all
waiting,
right, people can be patient.
Waiting in his living room.
Anyway,
100% he's looking at his phone to his right while he was waiting for us.
I'm shocked he didn't fall asleep over the last 2 minutes because he's probably been up, you know, like, probably he's up till 3 in the morning.
You've been up all night, Pete?
Yeah, but you know, everybody has who covers or cares about this team today, so I'm not going to pretend like I'm some hero. But one thing I will say is I am shocked that RG3 inserted himself into the conversation today. That is so unlike him.
Very much.
I'm really taken aback that he makes.
He doesn't like attention. You know that.
It's a good teaser. Have you watched the video yet? Have you watched the video?
No, you guys broke that news to me. I'll watch RG3.
It's really good, actually.
During the Virginia Tech football coach talk, but that's okay. This is your show. I'm happy to just be on it however long you need me.
All right, so what jumps out at you? I mean, I going into this game, I really questioned if Taylor – I know it's Gibby and everybody's playing well, but I really questioned if Taylor could continue to keep playing at a high level, you know, because we always want to fall back on the undrafted narrative, and that's why he was undrafted. But he's learning. He's growing. And I'm here for it, and I love it. And I don't know, he might be able to continue. That's what's jumping out at me, is watching the growth of this journeyman.
Absolutely, and I think what was encouraging about last night is it wasn't his best game. He had the interception. He was a little inaccurate here and there. He was kind of jumpy early, mm-hmm. and they still were able to win. The past 2 weeks, Taylor was essentially perfect, and it was good to see that Washington won when he's perfect. But when your quarterback's perfect, it's very easy to do that. So I wanted to see if Washington could bring out a victory when number four wasn't at his best. And I get it. Seattle's not exactly a good team anymore. But still, for Washington to be able to win their third in a row with Heineke playing maybe a B-minus game, it's really encouraging. And I think it speaks to the depth of the team, other phases chipping in. There's a lot that went wrong for them last night, but they were still able to persevere. And while Ron Rivera, I have some complaints about here or there, one thing he seems to have really instilled in this team is resilience and being able to persevere through obstacles and adversity. It happened last year, and it's happening again this year, and it's resulting in a nice second-half run here.
Now, Pete, something that did go right for Washington, amongst other things, was Curtis Samuel's return. And it didn't have a huge impact on the box score. Had one reception, had one rush. But you mentioned on your Twitter he had a critical block on the J.D. McKissick touchdown run. And, you know, it might not show up on the box score, but it's valuable to have him back on the field. And they've been waiting weeks, if not months, for this to happen.
Definitely. And I think last night was just, let's get Curtis in there. Let's introduce him to the offense and let's get him out of there. And it sounded like Ron, during your interview with him, was pleased with Curtis's health. And I think you'll see it more in future weeks. This offense really does a lot of stuff pre-snap motion-wise, and I understand a lot of it might feel like window dressing, but when you watch the game back, it does freeze linebackers. It does keep guys on their toes and make them have to lean this way, and then the run comes that way. And they were doing it with DeAndre Carter and De'Ami Brown, who are good players, or at least DeAndre Carter is. De'Ami Brown, the jury's still out. But for Curtis, who's much more explosive, it's only going to make this offense more difficult to defend. And, yeah, the block, that's not what he's here for. That's not what they're paying him for. But it was good to see him find a way to contribute, even when he's not necessarily a main figure of the game plan. So the offense, just getting contributions from everywhere. John Bates having a couple big catches and blocking. Carter, four catches again, tied for the team lead. Adam Humphries making plays on third down and recovering the onside kick there to save all of our sanities and this winning streak. So the depth, again, it's a lot of guys who wouldn't be expecting playing meaningful football here in November, but they're making a big-time difference.
I don't want to quibble with your earlier grade on Taylor, but I kind of will. I am biased. I give him a B+. I mean, very high percentage. He was inaccurate early. The interception kind of sucked, but I mean, also, I mean, I think Logan could have caught that, to be frank with you. So I thought he did a great job evading the rush. I think he needs to be better on the RPOs. I actually think I found a weakness in his game that isn't his arm strength. I think he stinks at the RPOs because half the time I feel like he should pull it back and run. So I don't know.
Yes, quibbling is totally fine. I guess I'm digging him for the interception, but we mentioned he only took one sack, and that's been a really big weakness for him the past couple weeks. The offensive line has been playing really well, but the raw sack numbers aren't that favorable, and I think a lot of that falls on number four. Last night only took 1 for 4 yards. He didn't force it beyond the one pick anywhere else. And I think he is just finding this balance. I think early on in the season, I kind of imagine it, Taylor sitting there with all these dials, and he turns up the dial about scrambling all the way. But then, you know, that causes the rest of the ratio to be off. So he turns that down. He turns up the, okay, I'm going to force the ball downfield. That's when he ran into these interceptions. He's kind of tweaking everything right now, and I think he's found the right mix between game manager, what Ron wants, and frenetic, exciting Taylor. He's sat down right in the middle of that, and it's allowed him to be a serviceable quarterback. He's not this backup anymore. He's not a top 12 starter, but I think he's kind of in that middle range. And when you have a quarterback in the middle range, like, I don't know if this is a great comparison, but a Carson Wentz, a guy who's fine, but not necessarily big time difference maker, you can still win when he takes care of the football for the most part and the other phases step up. And that's what Washington's doing right now. They're surrounding him with a devastating running game and a good defense, and Taylor's doing his part. He's not just along for the ride. He's definitely a part of the ride.
Any names top of mind to replace Joey Sly? Ron Rivera came on and said he's going to be out 3 weeks. The hammy's banged up. Do we have any names?
Are there just any proven guys?
A cavalcade of guys running through Ashburn.
Any proven guys out there?
I haven't had time to go back and look, but I would imagine the tryout list that they had with Joey Sly the last time they brought him in, there's 4 or 5 names on that list. I could see those 4 or 5 guys being trotted out to Ashburn today. To go through another set of tryouts. And I think Josh Lambeau, the Jaguars' old kicker who got released in favor of the one who's doing the job right now for them, is out there still as well, I believe. But, yeah, I think if you just search Joey Sly on Twitter, you'll find sort of that list that came out when he signed with the team about a month ago. And I would put my money on maybe one of those other guys who he beat out being the person they bring in. It won't be Chris Blewett. Cakes has a better chance of being the next kicker than Chris Blewett.
It's definitely not going to be him.
What do you sleep on Cakes's leg.
I do, comfortably.
And Pete, what do you make of Landon Collins' turnaround? Even just from our fans' perspective, we wanted that dude out of here a month ago. And, I think in some ways I think it's a little crazy because he's always been more of a box guy. And I know he still does some coverage, but, I mean, he's just come to life. In the last few, they kind of unleashed him, and the Josh Norman, punching the ball free. I mean, just doing everything. I love the way he attacks the line of scrimmage. So good at that.
He looks like a completely different player. I mean, earlier in the season, people were begging for DeShazer Everett. They were clamoring for Derek Forrest to come off the short-term IR and replace him. It is a massive turnaround for number 26, and he's gone from counting down the seconds until it's free agency so this team can cut him and move on to, I think he's a very crucial defender and should be back next year with the way he's playing. He is so decisive. He had that early tackle for loss, knifing through the line of scrimmage. He's been really good at reading screens and shorter passes, and the punch out on Alex Collins was A+ defending Pro Bowl stuff with the punch there from behind. So I've been really pleased, and I think it's kind of weird that he still talks about how he hates what he's doing when he's thriving so much.
Yeah,
I think I would imagine it sure as hell beats getting beat by Deontay Harris for a deep pass against the Saints and just being roasted on Twitter by everybody. But whether he likes it or not, they have found the right mix. So kudos to Landon for accepting this change, maybe begrudgingly, but still accepting it, and the coaching staff for recognizing it because he is now one of their best players. Him and Cam Curl together are a tremendous combo.
Hey, Pete, I know this is a few years down the road because they're not going to move to their new stadium. They haven't even picked a site yet. They can't get out of FedEx Field fast enough. I mean, pipes are bursting during the game last night. Everybody's filming it with their cell phones. It's freaking embarrassing. I mean, that stadium is an abject disaster.
It is a complete joke. Sometimes after their most awful losses, I'll get in the parking lot and look at it, and I'll think to myself, they can't drop a bomb on this piece of property soon enough. This is the worst place ever. Luckily, last night it didn't appear to be sewage water. I was told it was just a sprinkler, and everybody got out dry and in one piece, so that's a relief, but just a complete sideshow. And I just, like, I was talking to Graham Paulson. He was saying he doesn't get why people like making fun of that stuff. And I understand he's been doing this for a while. There's more important things to tend to. But for me, when I see a video of sprinklers going off on the suite level, I kind of just chuckle, and I can't wait to get out my sassy one-liner, because it's just, this is an NFL team doing these things. And it's really sad that Washington has to play in a stadium like that, as my cat is now on the counter behind me. Really good behavior there. Good job,
guys. Kind of a chunky cat. I've never actually seen the cat. A
lot of meow mix keep over feeding there. Them.
That's a cat that eats human food.
For it's sure.
Look, look at the shot you got.
Now we're getting moved.
Now you're getting a starfish.
I'm gonna censor that for every so we don't get fired.
No, that's a good party shot.
That is a chunky cat.
We'll let you go feed your enormous cat. And we'll talk to you again soon.
That's a terrible cat.
I need a nap. I'll go take care of that. See you guys next week.
Yeah. All right,
Pete
buddy.
Haley covers the Washington football team for NBC Sports Washington. Don't forget, before the show is done, we'll give you a chance to win a pair of tickets to go see the Washington Capitals.
Sweet.
Take on the Anaheim Ducks.
Hey, I got something to talk about.
Yes.
Because I love the fall. And I love getting my fantasy football team in order. John Paul Flame. I love drinking some pumpkin beer, rocking the fleece jacket or a big pullover. There's so many cool moments to enjoy. In fact, I think it should be everyone's favorite season. And my buddies at Van Meter Homes agree with me. Through November 30th, I believe that's today, buy a new Van Meter home and receive special savings. Get these savings now and savor your new Van Meter home for seasons to come. Check out new Van Meter single family homes, townhomes, condos all across Northern Virginia. Just visit vanmeterhomes.com/savor to learn more.
Welcome back to the Junks on a Victory Tuesday, presented by Chiniga Mios. Visit MIOScareers.com to view open positions and apply today. For all of you prize pigs, before the show is over, you'll have a chance to win a pair of tickets to see the Caps take on the Ducks. Not yet. When I prompt you to call, that's when you call in to win.
Let me mention this real quick. The Still Barking book tour starts tomorrow in Fairfax at Potbelly. You can go to stillbarking.com to buy the book, but also to see all the book tour information. You're going to hit Gaithersburg on Friday. Then Saturday, you can hang with AWOD, because I'm going to be doing a Pacers Pamplona tour stop.
Very good.
In Arlington. Jason's actually coming tomorrow.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And I believe Valdez is coming tomorrow. Here's the deal. Started chipping the books out yesterday. It's an arduous process, okay? I'm going to blame Rick Snyder on this one. He told me to go down this route,
Rick.
But I'm working with somebody to get the books out as fast as possible. But if you're anxious to get the books, come out to a book signing. You can pick it up in person. I sign it for you as long as it hasn't been shipped. If it's been shipped, you'll get tracking information. So if you haven't gotten the tracking information, then you know your book hasn't been shipped.
Very good.
Unless you're Al Rashid, who I just handed the book to Drab.
Hmm. Perfect.
I'm sure Drab's happy about that.
He's got to really take care of that. Speaking of books, I believe you guys have watched the teaser during the break.
It's actually pretty good.
I actually haven't watched it yet.
Robert Griffin III.
Oh, he's bringing it.
Former quarterback here in Washington is putting out a book next year, and here is the teaser.
What's up, guys? I'm so excited to announce that I wrote a book, and it's coming out in August 2022, titled Surviving Washington. Now, every experience that I've ever had has made me a better husband, a better father, and a better player. But I want you to take this journey with me as I walk you through one of the most dysfunctional franchises in all of sports. I'm going to tell you the truth about what happened in that playoff game in 2012 against Seattle. I'm going to detail the medical mismanagement that I received during my time in Washington. I'm going to open your eyes to the sexual harassment that permeated the walls of that building and give you a deep dive into a power struggle between one of the most powerful coaches in all of sports and an owner that many of you want gone. They say the truth will set you free. So here it is, unfiltered. Pre-order now.
What's the name of the name of the Surviving Washington?
Yeah.
Yep.
Wow. I just heard that Dan Snyder is buying every single copy. And he's hosting a massive
book signing. No, he's going to have a book signing at the Redskins Park.
So hold on. Listen, I think all of the sexual harassment stuff needs to be exposed, and any legitimate account of that, I'm all about it. Let's get it out there. I do kind of question. I mean, I guess he's just going to. I mean, he and Mike had already had. Remind me how it ended. He and Mike had already kind of blown up at each other, right? Like that relationship soured. Right? Remind me.
Oh, yeah.
Because Mike wanted him to continue doing what he was doing, and he wanted to be Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I mean, during the season, I think we talked about it, Mike was kind of criticizing him in so many words.
Right.
After game, and in post-game press conferences.
Right.
And you're right. They were at odds.
Jay never really wanted to deal with him. He was criticizing him.
But Jay gave him a shot, and then he got beat out by Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't the same guy. It's a shame. I would have loved to have seen Robert be healthy.
And here's the irony. I think, is if he's going to blame Shanahan for keeping him on the field in the Seattle game, he got so bitter when Shanahan was trying to protect him later on during the whole Operation Patience thing.
That's the kind of what I'm getting at, is that this is going to be, I have a feeling, some revisionist history.
Sure, it's his side.
Very one-sided, some revisionist history.
Of course, trying to sell books.
Maybe Shanny will come back with the book afterwards. No.
Right.
Of course it'll be one-sided, but I don't know. It'll be.
And it's very.
I won't buy it.
It's very. I might. It's very PC to trash all things Washington.
True, but.
Which puts Robert right where he likes to be.
It's the hot fire.
It's the hot fire.
Yeah. Hey, but why not take advantage of that if you're him? And.
Just be truthful. All I'm asking is be truthful. Look, if he's truthful, I'm all about it.
I'm guessing Look, I don't know. I'm guessing that there's a ghostwriter involved that he talked to who's doing research on the sexual harassment stuff. Because what does he really know about the sexual harassment stuff behind the walls? Okay. Yeah, I mean, is he going to give us firsthand accounts?
We don't know.
He might.
He might.
That would be interesting.
He might have witnessed something or had a friend that was a victim of it. Who knows?
He might, but. Yeah, you know, I don't know, man.
Hey, I'll give him this.
Into a dangerous
that's a good teaser.
Probably sell a lot of books.
You got to wait all the way till next August.
Yeah, that's weird. Get that thing out. You wrote it. Let's put it out. What are you waiting for?
He hasn't written it.
You're waiting for training camp.
Yeah. I would bet almost my life he hasn't written
it. It's on the. Yeah, it's in the works.
I would bet somebody pitched it to him and he gave the green light, and now he's going to have to talk to somebody to put it together. Nice. That's just my guess.
He was begging for a job like a month ago from this team.
I know.
So weird.
He's, you know why? Because
he's
weird.
And then
weird.
They said no,
he's a weird guy.
Let me write a book about you.
Well, because on a national level.
He's nuking any chance of coming back in the league.
On a national level, whoever pitched him the book.
Coming back in what league? The NFL?
It was like you said, a month ago he was begging.
Yeah,
every week he was like, call me.
He's a broadcaster.
He knows it's done.
He's a broadcaster now.
He is a broadcaster.
That's what he's doing.
I know. It's just.
Do you like him on TV? I haven't seen that much of him.
Many times. He's very good at describing the action. He can analyze the game. He's just a little too much
cheesy
RG3. He likes to hear himself talk
he's
a little bit.
Very me.
But he's good at describing it. Yeah,
he trends on Twitter almost every Saturday.
Because, for good or bad?
Because he does something stupid 50-50. Or says something stupid.
People are very reactionary. They either like him or they can't stand him. They want him yanked out of the booth.
So that's kind of like the LeVar effect. LeVar called a game, an NFL game.
Oh, people don't like when LeVar's on? I always think he's pretty good on TV.
I thought he was good, but I think he's polarizing. There are guys who are just polarizing.
I know he was polarizing as a player. I didn't know he was polarizing.
I think
as
it's also like Tlaib. Tlaib has been on TV. Some people like him, some people don't. Tlaib,
yeah. LeVar is very polarizing to Greg Williams. I know that. Yeah. That I do know. Yeah. That I'm aware of.
Dude, Robert is crazy, man. I mean,
he's not crazy because he's trying to make money. He's going to make money.
He's made plenty of money. He's going to make a ton of money doing broadcasting.
Yeah.
He already made a ton of money in the NFL. Probably made a boatload of endorsements.
Okay.
Make
more. But like you said, the Mannings don't need money, and they're doing a freaking commercial with four of them sitting around like a Thanksgiving dinner.
With J.B. Smoove.
Right.
They'll take the money.
The thing.
Do you think Ben Affleck needs the money?
No, but
you see his spots doing.
Jason might, because he only had one commercial read today. So he might need some money.
I was a little upset by that.
I had zippy.
How about this hot take?
Cold.
It was a light day.
Light.
How about this hot take? And I'm literally just thinking off the top of my head here, so go ahead and attack me all you want.
About our Jesus?
Yes. If he knew about sexual harassment 10 years ago, why didn't he say anything?
Correct.
good point.
Why didn't he say anything?
He says he's a better man
now,
than
for the ball. Now, because all of a sudden it's been exposed and it's a cool thing.
That's why he can cash in on it now.
Now, you know, why didn't you say something?
That's why.
Like I said, my guess is that he has a ghostwriter that's going to do a bunch of research on the sexual harassment and put together some chapters.
Yeah, most likely outcome. All right, Prize Picks. I told you to keep listening. Now is your time. Now is your time to shine, to oink. 800-636-1067 is the number. 10th caller, you're going to get a pair of tickets to the Caps as they take on the Ducks at Capital One Arena Monday, December 6th. See Ovi and the Caps all season at Capital One Arena. Single game tickets, group tickets, partial plans, all on sale. For more info on tickets, visit washcaps.com/tickets. And, of course, you listen to the Caps all season long right here on 106.7 The Fan.
Oh, not to muck it up, but I'm going to give away two golden tickets tomorrow at Potbelly in Fairfax for the book party, the P1 party at my house.
Very good.
December 11th. So two golden tickets tomorrow in Fairfax.
Good.
By the way, quickly, the Wiz lost to San Antonio last night by about 20.
I had no idea they were even on.
And they're coming back down to earth a little bit. I mean, they played 4 out of 6 on the road.
But they had a nice win against Dallas before that.
I agree.
They got smoked by the Pelicans before that.
Pelicans beat them by 25.
So a little up and down.
So, yeah, they're starting to come back down to earth, but still 13-7, I think. So I don't know when we're talking to Coach again. Maybe next week?
I think it would be this week. We didn't talk to him last week.
Oh, okay. Well, I was gone. I didn't know. But we'll see. And the Caps play the Panthers tonight.
Ooh, that's a big one.
Don't they play the Panthers tonight? I think so.
Overall, though, if you're a DC sports fan, Washington is trending in the right direction. Okay, they got a losing record. Caps are the best in the NHL.
It's amazing.
And the Wizards are off to an unexpected start.
That's right. Gotta love it. It's good for us. Good for the business.
It definitely is. All three teams would qualify for the playoffs.
And Terps Hokies tomorrow.
Gotta get out of here. Beamich and Finley coming up next here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.